my feedback.
He's a nerd.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Todd Adams. I'm at Zen Parenting Radio. Welcome back to Team Zen. This is Zen Talk number 68 or 7. I don't know. Kathy gets mad when I don't know, but that's what happens, right, sweetie?
I don't get mad when you don't know.
You get mad.
You start every podcast by saying, this is podcast number, I don't know.
I didn't start today's podcast that way.
That's because I asked you to figure out the number.
Let's just focus on the positive. All right. Lauren Burke. First of all, hi, Nikki. Hi, Millie. Hi, Sean. Hi, Mimi. And hi, Lauren.
Hi, everybody.
We have one question that was emailed to us. Bing. And Lauren has to bail at 12:30. And she has a question. And we're going to let her start. So, Hi, Lauren. What's up?
Hi.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi. Thanks for letting me jump in. So, I'm just going to give like a tad of background and then I'll just ask my question.
Take your time. Yes.
So yeah, this was really good timing for a call today because I dropped my son off at school. He's only, he's not even three yet. So he just goes to, you know, a regular preschool, but they're affiliated with the school district, which is kind of nice. And we have conferences coming up in a couple weeks. And, we were just kind of chatting a little bit about potty training and stuff. And the teacher said, you know, we'll talk about it more at conferences, but I just want to let you know that we like are starting to have some concerns about like some sensory processing stuff. And so I don't really know a lot what that means. I work with older people, so I vaguely have an idea of sensory processing. And it's funny because like I've heard you guys talk about, you know, the Differently Wired book, and I loved hearing her on the podcast. And I've thought for a long time, like, oh, Connor, like, I think he is kind of somewhere in that realm. I think we all are, right? But I've been sort of holding off, like diving into that all, I think, until now. And like just hearing his teacher say, you know, we'd really like him to get an evaluation. And his teachers are really great. And I don't feel like either of them are the type to like get really worked up about something. And she wasn't saying it, you know, like, oh my gosh, we're so worried about this. But as a mom, of course, you hear that. And I start thinking like, okay, so we'll do this evaluation. And then I'm reading more about like, okay, like would we need to change his school? And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm trying to like stay grounded with what's happening right now and not let my mind wander too much. But my question is about kind of how much we, like, I know you guys talk a lot about how like the real world is going to be hard enough for our kids and like we don't have to make it harder. Oh gosh, I'm going to try really hard. I always get choked up every time I ask a question on here.
It's good.
You know, Connor just, he likes what he likes. Like he has the same Trader Joe's frozen waffle every single morning and he didn't have it this morning and he was not happy. I gave him something else that he likes, and had I given him that for a snack later, it would have been no problem. But he wanted that waffle. It's what he has every single morning. Now, he doesn't have – he's not so sensory sensitive with clothes. Like, he can wear regular socks and that. But he does – there is some of that, I think, where like when we're changing him, he gets really worked up. And then once he's wearing whatever it is, he's fine. And he'll kind of just like move on. My other example is like, we went to the beach this summer and he just had never really been in sand before. We go to the pool a lot, I guess. And so my daughter, you know, just like runs into the water and is in the sand. He like couldn't handle the sand on his feet, even with his shoes on. It was just like too much for him. He literally sat in my lap for like 2.5 hours and he was fine. He like ate all the snacks and, you know, just kind of hung out with me and chatted with my girlfriend. But like, you know, that's not kind of what I thought was going to happen when we planned our day at the beach. So my question is, like, how much do we just kind of like allow for this and like accept that this is who he is? And like, if he wants the waffle every morning, then I stock our freezer with those waffles, and we don't, because he's going to have these challenges in other ways. I think I'm a little cautious about this because my youngest, it's interesting because he actually looks a lot like my youngest brother, just physically. And my youngest brother, he is a really sensitive guy. And I feel like we spent a lot of our childhood sort of like tiptoeing around his needs a bit. And I personally feel like he was kind of babied a bit, where, and he's the youngest, and like, so I think there's a small part of me that's like, no, like, you're not going to run the show all the time. But like, he doesn't, you know, Connor doesn't, like, when we have to come inside and he's throwing a tantrum about it, like, you know, there are certain times that of course we, you know, hold to what we need to do. But then there's other times where it's like, all right, if you don't want to wear a jacket and you're outside and I think you're going to be cold, but maybe you just run hotter than I do. I don't know. Like, I'm really caught in this, in sort of like, how much do we push and how much do we allow? And just wondering if, I know you've talked about it before, but I kind of need to hear it again.
Yeah.
How old is Connor?
He's not even 3 yet. Yeah.
Okay. You start.
Okay. Well, first of all, just to like relate to your story, I'm sad my aunt isn't on this call, but she'll hear it, is when I was a little girl and I'd go to the beach, I wouldn't walk on the sand either. And I used to walk around the beach with the towel under my feet, and I would like shimmy like this with the towel so I wouldn't have to feel the sand. It was very sensitive for me. I didn't like the feeling at all. And I'm only throwing that out there because there are some things that are just, we now call them sensory processing things, but when I was little, it was called Kathy didn't like sand. Do you know what I mean? Both of our daughters, our older 2 daughters, you know, like you talked about clothes, you know, they couldn't, especially my middle daughter couldn't stand tags. And we had to buy them diabetic socks because they wouldn't wear socks with
JC and Cameron
with any kind of seam in it. And just kind of like your waffles, we bought them diabetic socks. Like the goal is to get them with their shoes on, getting out the door. So I'm saying those stories not because I'm like, your child is exactly like me, or it's that I think sometimes we talked about this, I think with Duffy a little bit, about how helpful interventions and labels can be, in that we get to know our children better, we get to understand that they're not alone, and then they can also not be helpful in that Connor is just doing his thing and, you know, being who he is right now in the moment. And he may end up loving sand when he's 6, and he may end up not liking the beach at all. Like these are just the way that he's showing himself now. Like, I'd be interested to know what the teachers see, if it is a, and again, I don't, Lauren, do you have feedback about what hey, there's my aunt. Hey, Peg, can you hear me? Peg, do you remember when I used to go to the beach and not want to walk on the sand? Yes. Okay. So do you remember? And I put the towel under my feet and I wouldn't let the sand touch my feet and I drove everybody crazy. Okay. So yes, my aunt has lived in Florida.
We have verification.
We have verification. So Lauren, do you know what the teachers are experiencing with Connor in the classroom?
Yeah, so the reason it came up today is because we're starting to talk about potty training. I don't really think he's ready yet, but my husband like kind of thinks he is, and we're having a baby in January, and he's like, it'd be great to have him potty trained before the baby comes. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know if he's really ready. So I'm like, let me talk to his teacher tomorrow and see kind of what they see at school. So that's kind of how this all came up, because she said that when they try with him, He's like, he's so cute because he always says, no, thank you. No, thank you. Like, he doesn't, he's very polite about it, but it's, yeah. So that was the first thing. And of course, then when I talked to Tim later, he's like, I don't understand how sensory processing is related to potty training, but okay. Okay. Do you agree with that? Okay. So, they did say like some of his fine motor stuff, they think might be a bit delayed. And I think like when they're doing like handprints and stuff, you know, like painting the hand, he doesn't like that. They've told me that before. But then other things he's really fine about, like they've also told me that he doesn't care that he has like food all over his face and like maybe we should work on wiping his face more at home. So like, I don't know yet because we haven't had the conference and I just felt sort of like flooded with information and also flooded with like, okay, we've, you know, of course, if someone tells me to do an evaluation, it's free, you know, we're not signing up for any services yet, but my mind is sort of, you know, going with all of that. So I don't know what else they see.
Well, let me finish this and then you dive into yours just so I can bring this full circle. So if you want to do the evaluation, you can, you don't have to, just FYI, like you don't have to. Like
the parent police aren't going to come get you.
They're not. And all you're going to say to the teachers is, I totally hear you. I like the, you know, the conference that you're sharing these things with me. I think I'm going to give him the opportunity to kind of grow and change and have his brain develop until he's about 5. Or if I see something different 6 months from now, I may consider it. But I don't think, because again, even a test, like if someone gave me a test when I was 3, they may have been like, whoa, she doesn't like anything. You know what I mean? Like she doesn't like paint on her hands. She doesn't like, you know, and not that wouldn't have been a bad thing. And I think that sometimes, especially as educators, oftentimes, like I remember at our preschool, there was a certain lead educator who was in charge of noticing differences. And so her job was to like look around and be like different.
Find
different.
What's wrong.
Exactly. And that's beautiful if we need that intervention. But I think the question that you and Tim need to sit down with is say, it's kind of like when we had to decide if we were going to do amniocentesis or whatever. Do I want this information? And if I got it, would it change anything I'm doing? And there may be a time educationally where it will, because I don't, you know, like there is no way I would say to you, there's nothing to see here. And there's also no way I would say to you that, you know, it's just, do you feel as a mom that you need some kind of diagnosis for Connor right now? Would it answer questions for you that have been like looming in your mind? If it does, then do it. But if you're doing it because the educators told you they want to, and that's the only reason, say, I'm going to delay this 6 months and or a year, and say it in a way that is, I would like to give him the room to kind of just, I would like us to see him full picture for a little bit before we go there. And that's okay. Either way is okay, by the way. Like there is no right answer. But educators are, you know, Lauren, you're a therapist. You know this. As a therapist, you don't know everything about everybody, right? Even if you see, you know, same with educators. I mean, I'm an educator and a therapist, and I can look at a kid and be like, I'm seeing these things, but it may or not, you know, it's not as if they've seen something that you are, it's not like he's a behavior problem and you're like avoiding it or in denial.
Right.
You know, so yeah. I'll say that. And then Todd, go ahead.
He's 3. He's freaking 3. He's not even 3. So I feel like Lauren has 2 questions. One is, should I stock the fridge with waffles?
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, because you're going to screw something up and he's not going to get something he wants. Yeah. And you're going to get plenty of opportunities to, you know, figure out how he deals with adversity. But stock the fridge.
And maybe stock the fridge, give him a waffle, and then throw a yogurt in there. And maybe he'll have the yogurt with the waffle and he'll start to connect those two. And then the yogurt will be fine. Do you know what I mean? You can play around with it. But I stock my whole house with things that my 16, 15, and 12-year-old want.
And then the other thing, and then I want to, if Millie wrote something, and I'd love for her to speak up if you're willing, Millie, if you are, give me a thumbs up. Yeah, she is. The other question is, should you have this meeting? And I can't say anything more than what Kathy just said. She said it much more eloquently than I would have. But if it is, know yourself. Know how are you going to react if you get certain information from these teachers? And if you know it's going to go sideways, if you get that information before he even turns three, then don't get the meeting. If you're like, no, I can kind of have some perspective on this and know that whatever they say doesn't mean that he's going to, you know, struggle or whatever, then have the meeting. But only you can answer that. But if I was going to make a mistake, I'd rather make a mistake on the side of not having the meeting. But that doesn't mean that's what you should do.
Well, there's the meeting and then there's the testing. She's going to have the meeting.
Okay, the testing.
Get your anecdotal information from them. But a test, it's dependent on the day he takes it, the person who administers it, he's three. So you have so much space and time. It's not as if there is a thing where they're like sometimes when a kid is red flagged for being on the spectrum in some way, there's like interventions that need to happen at an early age that are more about communicating and eye contact and things like that, because they really are detached or non-communicative, and doing that early is helpful. But with Connor, with the experiences he's having, it sounds like he's interacting just fine. He has a hard time. He gets stuck. He has some sensory things, you know, welcome to three. And then if it continues to be a problem, then you can do something. And also to Todd's point, I keep going back and forth, but this is so up to you, but you don't need to think about, does he need to go to a different school? No. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's all right.
Millie, what did you write down? Do you want to summarize?
Yeah. I just wanted to share with you, Lauren. First of all, I empathize. My ones, we noticed that he has some sensory things, right? That's what we ended up kind of self-diagnosing. And I wrote in here that since the age of three, he has not worn short sleeve shirts. It could be literally over 100 degrees outside. He refuses to wear short sleeve shirts. He just wants his arms covered. And so it's my discomfort with him being, that I think he's uncomfortable wearing, you know, wearing a long sleeve when everyone is, you know, topless or you know, in tank tops. But it's his thing. He has no problem with it. And so we've had to just get used to being okay. He has a sensory thing. He wants his arms covered. That's okay. And then also, he's also sensory. He has issues, I think, with noise. He cannot function. He will like just go crazy in a crowded restaurant with a lot of noise. So I think we have to plan ahead, you know, for these things. I have thought to maybe get him some those headphones, right? Kids that sometimes kids wear. When we went to Legoland, oh my God, I literally sat next to him and put my hands next, you know, covered his ears because he was just like, ah, you know, he was going crazy. So I guess my point, but three, and he's now 7 and a half, still cannot wear short sleeve shirts. And meals. Okay. So when you were talking about the waffles, he will walk up to, you know, meal that I've spent, you know, a bunch of time preparing, and he'll just go, ugh, yuck, you know, whatever it is, I mean, that again, or I don't want that. And it could be something he ate just yesterday. He likes what he likes. And at the moment, not even just, you know, like you're at least, you know, that he likes Trader Joe's waffles and he expects that, but he might like some, my kid might like something in that moment. He's like, I don't want it. And we're like, okay, fine. But I try to have something on the table that I know he will eat. Though last night he did not have anything and he just had a banana and that was his dinner. So you know, whatever, he's not going to die. He's, you know, he's fine. But my point is, yeah, I agree with these guys. 3 years old, not yet, you know, too early. And he's going to, you know, like you said it earlier, we all have our, you know, we all have certain sensory things, right?
Yeah.
So at different levels.
Thank you, Millie.
So I just empathize. Yeah.
Lauren, any thoughts?
That was super helpful. Thank you, Millie. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I think that that's my biggest concern is that, like my mom used to be a preschool teacher and she would just talk about how, you know, the beauty of early intervention is that sometimes when you catch something so early and you get the supports in, then they don't need them as much when they're older. And so I think I kind of had that in my head. And you know, I do see a teacher, as these teachers have been doing this for like 20 plus years, and I know them well enough to say they're not overreacting. It didn't feel, it felt like almost like I brought it up more. So yeah, there's a part of me that just wonders if he's supposed to have some intervention, like for the fine motor skills or whatever it is, like, should he have that now? But then I hear you guys and it's like, it just, that feels like a much more balanced approach. I just don't want him to be like going into kindergarten and they're like, oh, like it would have been helpful if you would have actually like done this program or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Lauren, I think it's to really, and this is the conversation you'll have with Tim or have with the teachers, what specifically do you think he needs help with versus could he get random intervention and be better? Because most teachers, and I think your mom, if you talked to her about this, they would say they saw something very specific. Talking about fine motor skills is like a really general thing because, like, you know, I had a kid who could barely hold a pencil and now holds a pencil in a really funky way. She holds a pencil super funky.
Cameron?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's off.
But her fine motor skills are fine. It was that, you know, and many are like, oh, but that's the indicator, you know. And please know that there is no, like, if you want to do the intervention and you would feel more at peace with that, do it. Like, and what I mean is the test. And at the same time, no matter what comes out, it doesn't mean anything in the big picture. I think that's kind of what Millie's saying about, like, you know, her son has these things, but it's got nothing to do with like his every aspect of his life. Like it's just these pieces. And I had pieces and our children have. So I'm thinking about the kids that I identify sometimes, and there's something really specific that I'm concerned about versus a general overall. Do you know what I mean? Like, and you and Tim, you guys know what that is, and you'll know what to do, but you can go into it with not fear, but instead like, you know, might be interesting. There's like a difference between like, this is going to be intense versus we're going to get a little information and we're going to move on just like we did before.
Meanwhile, buy some waffles.
Yeah. Stock the fridge. Can we do the mute now?
Sure. Is it making you uncomfortable, sweetie?
Mm-hmm. Cause okay, it's hard to, it's quiet. I can't hear people as well.
Okay, hold on. Mute all. Sorry, everybody. Current new person will be muted. Okay. All right. Question of the day. And then after that, I got nothing.
So if you have a question, just let us know. And if, Lauren, you need to log off, just go ahead and do that whenever.
Mimi said it froze. Can you guys hear me? Give me a thumbs up if you can. Who has had his own smartphone for about a year now. When he first got it, we occasionally had a look at his messages so that we knew who he was talking to and what WhatsApp groups he was part of. It doesn't feel right to continue checking now that he's getting older, and he certainly doesn't want us to, so I was just looking for some advice at the level of freedom you and Kathy recommend. I would have at least known who his friends were, but now I don't even have that comfort because he goes to a new school. Or at least not 6 weeks into the new school. He's active on his phone, but he doesn't share any details of who he's talking to with us even when we ask. He doesn't have full access to the internet and isn't pushing to be active on social media, so it's really just WhatsApp. Would you be inclined to trust him and just keep the lines of communication open as much as possible? Or would you be pushing to know more about who he messages, etc.? He's 13. You go.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't know why we need to know everything about everything.
If he's in the wrong group, it's going to come up outside of the phone.
And I think if you've been, let's see. Part of the reason that I think Todd and I struggle with these questions is because we don't have enough information about your kid, their past experience, the friends that they hang out with. And so I don't want to be flippant and I don't want to be like, it's no big deal. But I think if we're ready to give our kids a phone where they're going to be texting with people, we should give them the autonomy to text with people and not have us looking over their shoulder when our 13-year-olds go to someone's house, we're not sitting there in the room with them. Oh, it froze.
I know.
Is it still froze?
I think we're okay.
Okay. We let them learn how to have conversations with people and sometimes have consequences of it, you know, the sound is stuttering.
It's the same message.
Oh, it is. Before. Okay. Sorry. I'm trying to read. I think, so your question to me is, do we trust them? And I say yes, until there's a reason to not.
Yeah, because no kid's so slick that they're going to be able to hide every, you know, devious thing that they do. And I would err on the side of trusting them until they give you a reason not to trust them. And when they do that, you don't shame them. You're like, well, you know what? You did this, so we're going to have to set some tighter boundaries on something. So my judgment is, yeah, there's no right answer. You know your kid better than we do. You know your situation. You know the house the kid. Oh my! Our internet is unstable. Hopefully, you guys can hear me. You know much more about the situation than we do, Team Zen member. But in a perfect world, I would always err on the side of trusting instead of checking. You can like, and there's no like, do I trust him or not trust him? You can like have open-ended questions or discussions about, oh, I noticed you're on your phone. Who are some of the people you've been chatting with, you know?
I will share, like, my 12-year-old got a phone this year, and she only has texting and phone calls and games. And I don't really ask her anything, and because of that, she tells me. Does that make sense? Hmm. I don't ask anything, but she'll be texting, and she'll be like, Mom, how do I get off this group text? And I'll be like, who's on it? And she'll tell me. And then I'll be like, well, you can say I took your phone, or you can say, you know, like I give her ideas. And then she, like, I guess I'm joining her in her experience rather than being big brother in her experience. And
having said that, my sister-in-law, Kathy's sister, whom I love, who's a wonderful mom, I always remember her saying, give me your phone. Just so she can see what's going on. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Sure.
There's no right way to do this. But she's like, well, this is my phone. I bought it. You're using it. And I have every right to ask for my phone.
Sure.
And, you know, Maddie and Max are wonderful human beings. And I think they would have been fine with or without that boundary. But it's not the wrong thing to do.
Well, and the girls, I know their passcodes. They plug in their phones. Some of them, most of them are in the bathroom now. But they know we can see their phone. I choose to not, but it's so relative. Like, you know, the person asking this question, there's so much more information we need as far as the relationship with your kid and why you think you need to check their WhatsApp. Like, did something happen? Mm-hmm. Or do you think it's your parental job to read all your kids' texts?
I would also ask, was a contract signed?
Yeah.
Because if it is, then you have, hopefully, the agreement that you have every right to do it. That way he doesn't think that mom or dad is going behind his back. Mm-hmm. Like, it's already, there's an upfront agreement. So if you haven't done that, listener, make sure you get an upfront agreement, and it's never too late. And I can email you what we've done. And there's a million, just Google phone contract for kids or something like that. There's a million of them.
I just think we need to let our kids do a little bit of failing and searching and success without us involved. I think we're way too helicoptery. And then if we're given a reason to be helicoptery, then we have to say to our kids, because of A, B, or C, you've lost the privilege to do this on your own. I'm going to check for a while. You know, but I think the idea of getting our kid a phone and then saying, I'm going to read every text you do, I think that's not real life. You know, this weekend, Todd and I took JC to look at colleges for fun. She wanted to go see a few things in Michigan. And it just drives home that point of that in, you know, a year and a half, she'll be there.
She's gone.
And no one's checking her phone. No one's writing her papers. No one's checking Power School. No one's getting her up in the morning. And she has to learn how to do that. And without me looking over her shoulder, which I think, you know, we've done a balanced job. It hasn't been perfect. So again,
the thing that drives me nuts about our 12-year-old, because the phone is a novelty for her and her friends, like there'll be 150 texts in a day. Mm-hmm. And it buzzes every time. Mm-hmm. And part of it annoys me, but part of it, I feel bad that she feels the need to read 150 texts. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And she needs to figure that out.
I know. And I haven't said anything. I'm saying it to you guys. I'm frustrated because it's buzzing too much. Millie asks, what type of phone plan do we have that her daughter can only text, call, and game?
It is a it's the contract that we signed with her.
I know, but she can get on Google if she wants.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't prevent her.
Yeah. Sorry, Millie.
But she does, I don't, actually, she does.
She uses Buzz, Google.
She does BuzzFeed quizzes yep. all the time. Yeah. So she does have access to the internet. Yep. So
she does. She, one of the games is called Wishbone. And it's like where you get to choose, you know, do you like this member of One Direction or this member of One Direction? I'm outdating myself because they're not together, that band. Harry Styles has a new album, everybody. But that's beside the point.
That's important.
And she'll choose, and then you can click on a link to go read about that person. So she has access to the world. But what I mean is she doesn't have TikTok. She doesn't have Instagram. She doesn't have VSCO. I don't think our agreement or what we have found with our girls is that they can't have social networking until they're 13. And then even then it starts real. Now JC has full reign. She's almost 17 years old. She can, you know, she can do it. But it starts with... you know, Snap, or it starts with Instagram, then Snapchat, and then whatever. So yeah. It's been an evolution.
And our internet connection is unstable again. I'm also mad at our internet service provider, and I'm switching over, and the Comcast guy was in front, and I got a text saying, your Comcast guy is here. And I said, sweet. And I was waiting for a knock on the door, and I looked, and he was still in his van. I didn't know if he was on the phone. And then he left. He never knocked on the door.
You didn't come out to greet him.
So we're still stuck with AT&T, and they have fiber something or other, and it's too far away, and the internet sucks. So hopefully next week, our internet connection will be more stable.
It's going to be so stable, you guys are going to be like, your minds are going to be blown.
If the Comcast guy decides to actually knock on the door. I think they thought I was supposed to go greet him.
He needs
by the van.
He needs your love.
He does need
his love language is acts of service.
Yes. Millie said Janelle Burley Hoffman has a great contract that we use as a base for our contract with our daughter, not with a phone yet, but with a laptop we gave her last Christmas. And then she includes the link. Thank you, Millie. I'm going to save that and include it in the show notes.
I'm willing to believe that that is the contract we use too.
Good old Jane Burley. She's my favorite mm-hmm. Burley.
I can't remember where don't click on it now, but we did the same thing, Millie. I took someone's contract that had already been written. And just
it's called ripped. Plagiarizing.
But I didn't publish it. I didn't say it was mine.
Whatevs.
I think we did a show about it. Remember?
I'm sure we did.
Like 5 years ago.
So we have a small group and we asked if anybody has questions. I've asked a few times and nobody does. Should we stop earlier? I've never stopped early. I'm having some childhood guilt right now because I always think it's supposed to be an hour. And I got a feeling somebody is gonna be like, when we're done, we're done.
Well, I can share something and then we'll
let what do you got?
Some people go. I wanted to say something about the podcast we did today about the adverse childhood experiences. I don't know if you guys have listened to our podcast today, but if you haven't, I highly recommend you listen to Dax Shepherd's podcast with Nadine Burke-Harris from last week. And I also recommend that you watch Nadine Burke-Harris's TED Talk about adverse childhood experiences. I kind of re-listened to part of our show on my way to teaching today. And I think we did okay, but there was this point that you and I kept going back and forth about that I wanted to make more clearly, I guess, to people on Team Zen, is that if you find that you had a lot of adverse childhood experiences, it doesn't mean that A, you haven't worked through it in adulthood, or B, mean that you're going to have health issues because of it, okay? I think I said that on today's show pretty good, but I think whenever we offer something, it's similar to what Lauren is talking about with possibly getting testing, and then all of a sudden we have a label, And then we can kind of create a self-fulfilling prophecy around it. Like, oh, I'm a five on the, you know, adverse childhood experiences checklist. And so that means things are going to go bad. And it doesn't. It doesn't. What it is it can, for children, it can be a predictor and an opportunity for parents to make different choices going forward. That's really it. It's a opportunity for healing and to not repeat a cycle. It's not a absolute indicator of what happens next, because I've already had a few texts from people feeling freaked out.
Really?
Yes.
If you have no idea what we're talking about, just listen to today's podcast and it'll make more sense.
And I'll just share, since we have time, it looks like we're going to have two more authors on Team Zen. One of them is, I don't know if you guys listen to Hunter Clark Field's podcast. It's called The Mindful Mama, I think. We've been on her podcast before, and she has a lot of really great speakers. She has a book coming out December 1st called Raising Good Humans. And I think she's going to come on Team Zen with us and talk about mindfulness and kind of her experience with that. It looks like there's a book out right now called, do any of you, are any of you connected to the Grown and Flown Facebook page? No? Okay.
You got a really popular following, I guess.
On Facebook, there's a page called Grown and Flown.
Mimi's heard it,
yes.
Sweetie.
Okay, good, Mimi. She has older kids, so that doesn't surprise me. The Grown and Flown Facebook page are for parents who have children who are like 15 through like 25. The whole idea is, how do I parent once my children are really not under my watchful eye all the time? Yeah, I got it from Duffy. Duffy talks about it a lot. This Facebook page is really helpful to people because they can ask questions about, oh, you know, my 21-year-old is moving back home. What do I do? It says unstable, so hold on. Hold on, AT&T. Or, you know, I have an 18-year-old who said they wanted to go to college but now isn't. You know, it's just for older kids and or for, you know, teenagers. And it looks like those authors are going to come on. They've written a book now called Grown and Flown. And they were going to be on our podcast, but it's a long story. We only interview people at our house, and that can be tough for people to get here.
With a few exceptions.
With a few exceptions. And so we're going to maybe have them on Team Zen instead. So there's a lot of good authors coming on, coming into November and December. Yes.
So Millie asked if we went to see Julie Lithcott-Hames talk at our high school, and we did.
Uh-huh.
And we have never seen that presentation.
Yes, she did the How to Raise an Adult presentation. And she spoke to the high school kids before. So like we went Wednesday night or Tuesday night, but during the day they had a pep rally or whatever. And she spoke to the kids. Cameron said it was okay. It didn't translate the way Cameron has met her before and has seen her. And she was like, it was okay, but we didn't really get everything that she was saying. The parents showed up that night, and it was a pretty good turnout. And I think for our community, it was a helpful message about calm down. And
you need to calm down.
And there's a lot of different, yes, okay, yeah, okay. So Millie has seen it. So we loved it. It was good to see her. But it was obviously a different talk than Real American, which is about race.
No, it was good. And it's because we live in this affluent suburb of parents overly concerned about SAT scores and ACT scores. And Julie is just like a reality check. Like there's 2,000 plus accredited colleges and universities that you can choose from. And yet for some reason, many parents think that there's only 14 to choose from. And it's ridiculous.
It's so weird. It's so weird how we can get lost in that, especially if our community is lost in it. Just having this experience this weekend with JC, like our kids like know where they fit and where, and if we have been telling them where they're supposed to fit, then they lose track of where they feel that they fit. And that, you know, I don't know. It's just been, I think the more hands-off approach can make us feel out of control, but then it gives our children that internal understanding of themselves. Like instead of like being bombarded by all these messages of what's expected, they can kind of just hear themselves. It sounds really difficult for people to embrace that.
Well, it's because we like to be in control, us human beings that have this ego that needs to be satisfied and let loosen the grip a little bit. I got certain things I'm really good at loosening the grip on. Other things like money, I'm still learning. But it was an interesting experience going to these colleges because, you know, we started the podcast and 7 or 9 years ago, and JC was like 8 years old and Skylar was one. And now we're, you know, she's this little adult, you know, doing these things, getting the information to make these big decisions. And, you know, you walk up to the desk, you were there originally at the first college, and, you know, Kathy was ready to like give our name and all that.
They don't even look at me.
They don't even look at her. They look right at her.
And I'm like, ooh, back the hell up.
They're trained to do that.
Yeah, this is her. And that's really how it should be, is we should not, I think it should be that way from the time, you know, they can. And I don't mean we force it and say you have to, and you have to, you know, some kids have a different, you know, experience. Like they need a little more support a little longer, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But it was really, it was good. It's breaking really bad.
I know.
Okay.
So we have bad internet, so we're going to close early.
We are going to end early because the next time we get together, I'll answer that in a second, we are going to have better internet. And maybe that's not the problem. Maybe it's just Zoom. We don't know.
It says internet connection is unstable, so I don't think it's Zoom. I think it's our internet service provider. So apologies to everybody.
It's going
to
be better. We're getting better. We're growing. How many people are coming to 1440? I think we're close to 20, right?
Last I saw, it was 17. And how many teams in? I recognized you, Millie, and maybe two or three other people. I can forward you the list. Mm-hmm. I don't think that I would be breaking anybody's confidentiality because you're going to see them in a week from this weekend anyway. So,
well, maybe, yeah, just maybe give her like that, because the list, the other people we don't know, that wouldn't be fair.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's the dealio. We're looking forward to it.
Yes.
It's going to be off the hook.
It's going to be great. And if you have any questions, you know, since we're ending early, just put them on Facebook, email us. We'll obviously respond to them. We'll work on our internet from our end. And much goodness coming in November and December, my friends.
A quick shameless plug. I'm trying to really...
What is shameless plug mean?
Shameless means shameless. I am trying to purposely ask them to help me.
Okay.
Men's group. I have a Tribe men's group. We have a virtual community. So it doesn't matter where you live. If there's any men in your life who you think might be able to benefit from connecting with other authentic, healthy men in an authentic way, we just redeveloped our vision statement, and it is to live in a more harmonious world by deepening connections amongst men. And one of the ways we do that is by having these virtual meetings. So if you have any guys in your life that you think might benefit, send them to our webpage, tribemensgroup.org, or just shoot me an email and I'll reach out personally. We're deliberately trying to like reach out to the women out there who show up to stuff and use them as a vehicle to grow some awareness of this men's group.
But they can't sign their partners up because that has to be the man's choice.
Correct.
Yeah.
We're trying to create
all the work.
We're trying to create an awareness.
Okay. I love it.
All right, guys, keep trucking. Happy Tuesday. Thanks for joining us. Questions, just go up on Facebook and we'll talk to you later. Keep trucking. Adios.
Bye-bye.
End meeting 4-0.